teachers are looking for ways to help their students make sense of the world. These tragedies dominate the news cycle. Even the youngest children can't avoid being absorbed by headlines and current events. And teachers say they need tools to help them process and filter through information. Now, one key element of that approach is media literacy. Here's NPR Sequoia Carrillo.
Stephanie Nichols teaches at Narragansett School in Gorham, Maine, about 40 minutes outside of Lewiston. The whole state is still reeling from the area's recent mass shooting.
Even that far away, you know, we all have connections. It's Maine. It really is like the biggest small town.
Each morning, she gathers her second grade class to eat their breakfast and start their day. She tries to take her cue from them on what they want to talk about.
I think people sometimes really underestimate kids of this age level. And I think they're just kind of like, oh, like, they don't know. And I'm like, yeah, we're not going through like a lot of news outlets, but they are still being exposed to it.
And the last week or so is no exception.
My kids had all these things they heard on the news.
18 people dead, a multi-day search that closed schools and left the community on lockdown. Nichols knew they had to talk about it.
One of my students said, well, do we know why he did this? And we just had that conversation about, you know, sometimes adults, we know a lot, but we don't always have the answers for everything. And that might be something that we never have an answer for.
Nichols says this isn't the first time they've had to have tough conversations about the news. Even sometimes their distractions, like YouTube videos or gamers on Twitch, can expose them to the headlines. And she wants them to understand that not everything they see on the internet can be trusted.
It's important that we know who's putting out things like an advertisement because we don't necessarily know if that's a fact or opinion.
For older students, like middle and high schoolers, the media literacy discussion is more nuanced.
Hi, I'm John Green, and this is Crash Course Navigating Digital Information. So we're going to talk about your social media feed today.
Green is an author and educator whose online videos are used by many teachers.
And if you're going to live partly inside these feeds, I think it's really important to understand both the kinds of information that are likely to be shared with you and the kinds of information you're incentivized to share.
His videos are a part of MediaWise, a program run through the Poynter Institute. Wesley Hedgepeth, a high school history and government teacher in Richmond, Virginia, uses the course. He says the unit starts with a quiz for students, asking things like,
do you know what a deep fake is? Or have you ever shared something that was false? And how did you know later on? So they ask them questions, the students will respond, and then they send them a video.
The videos are hosted by people like John Green or noted journalists.
Hi there, it's Joan London again. We spend a lot of time online, and sometimes it can be difficult to weed out what's true and false on our timelines.
The unit helps prepare his students to approach conflicts, like the war in Gaza. The high schoolers are taught how to evaluate a news outlet for bias. They're given different texts on the same event and told to identify the discrepancies. Sometimes media literacy is an easier path into a harder conversation. Hedgepeth is the president of the National Council for the Social Studies and says how teachers talk about something like the war in Gaza can depend on what state they're in. In 17 states, divisive concepts legislation now limits what teachers can talk about. Things like critical race theory, LGBTQ rights, and gun violence are often hot-button issues.
Teachers feel concerned about their job. The fact that it's already on its surface divisive, some teachers are hesitant to talk about it.
But Hedgepeth says the social studies classroom is uniquely qualified to have these discussions. He uses topics already in the material, like the history of the Ottoman and Byzantine empires, for instance, to give context for the region, and then uses that to make the jump from history to the present day. Hedgepeth tries to get a lot of perspectives in his lessons. He says it's not just about one side's history.
I often feel like the Palestinian, their story, their perspective is very often lost in this because very often we're focused on Hamas and the state of Israel.
And with more sides to the story comes more opportunities for students to reach their own conclusions. Sequoia Carrillo, NPR News.